so much.
Recording in progress.
Honorable members of the Portfolio Committee of Public Works and Infrastructure, Honorable Minister, Sixes Vikalala, Honorable Deputy Minister, Dennis Swart, Acting DG, Ms. Nyelete Makubela, and your team, the team from the Parliament that supports the Portfolio Committee, and all those that are watching our Portfolio Committee today, good morning. Today we're going to deal with a briefing in which we'll be getting an update from the department on the enterprise resource planning. We're bringing this back because it has been something that has been coming up from Auditor General. If I may just go back, Minister, on the portfolio committee that we held in March 2021, where we were getting information on the ERP, focusing on the procurement of Archibald and Sage, there were many issues that were raised. A contractor that was appointed by the department, but at that time the software was not yet implemented properly. A lot of money being spent, and you find out that we also got information in which some contractors, their services were cancelled. And Auditor General raised this issue several times. So today we're bringing this back so that we can get a proper briefing, clearly indicating how much cost has been incurred so far and how many service providers have been involved. We're bringing this back because it has been there, and some of the things that had red flags, and some of the things that the members of the Portfolio Committee have raised it in previous Portfolio Committee meetings. And when you get to the budget of the department, you would also be informed. Sometimes we have spent so much trying to procure this and this. So that is why we have brought this ERP back in this portfolio committee. With those few words, honorable members, trying to highlight why we're here today and welcoming you all in this meeting. The minister is here. I heard him informing honorable so that you are here. Minister, you are supposed to be here. So you are all welcome, honorable members. Do we have any apologies? Lwazi?
Good morning, Chairperson. There are only two apologies, Chairperson. Honorable Van Staden, and there was an apology from the Deputy Minister, but I was informed that she will be in and out as she's on a business trip, I think so, Chairperson. But she will be in and out of the meeting.
Oh, thank you so much. Thank you so much for those apologies. Over to you, Minister, and your team.
No, thanks, Honorable Chair. Greetings to you and to all members of the Portfolio Committee. Greetings to Deputy Minister, the DG, and the senior management from the department. We thank the opportunity to come and explain on this subject matter. I will request that the AG. I will come at the end. Thank you.
Thank you, Minister. Acting DG and your team.
Good morning, Honourable Chairperson and Honourable Members of the Committee, Honourable Minister, Deputy Minister, and my colleagues from the Department of Public Works. We have prepared the presentation as the Chairperson has outlined. I hope it gives you the information that you need. I think as a department, we still have a long way to go where ICT is concerned, and our current principal has indicated as such that we need to move towards finalization of our ICT or integrated systems at the end of the day. But I have with me Chief Information Officer, Mr. Medi Malapela, who will lead the presentation on behalf of the department. Thank you so much, Chairperson and members. Mr. Medi?
Good morning, Honourable Minister and Portfolio Meeting Committee members. I'll be taking you through the prepared presentation as per the Acting DG. I just want to share my screen. We prepared the presentation as per the inquiry that was issued to the department in terms of what the objectives of the integrated resource planning system is, and also the expenditure to date and which service providers have been involved.
Sorry,
in the program.
If I could interrupt, could I ask that the presentation be full screen as opposed to split screen? It makes it a lot easier for us. Thank you so much. I'm sorry for the interruption.
Thank you, Honorable Hicklin. Can you try? Yeah, that's good. Thank you.
All right. Apologies, Chairperson. As I was saying, that the brief was that we need to outline the objectives of the ERP solution and the contractors or the service providers and their expenditure that we have incurred with them, and also the status in terms of where we are in relation to the ERP. And just a little bit of context and where we started with it. I'm not going to dwell on it, Chairperson, but we started the approvals for us to move with the ERP system started in 2011. And we have then got an approval from National Treasury, and from there we were given an approval. We then published a tender. We acquired a service provider for the SAGE solution, and while the department was implementing the SAGE solution, then there was a recommendation that we must then look at an ACIBA system that will provide for the immovable asset register functionality, because SAGE is more on financial accounting or in terms of finances and reporting. And then while the department was busy with that, they got then Deloitte to come on board to implement the SAGE, and the billing and accounting modules were then implemented. And then also as we were rolling out the SAGE solution, then there were other modules that came into play, the lease in and the lease out and variable modules. And a decision was taken as part of turnaround strategy in 2015, sorry, Chairperson, that the other modules that come with the ACIBA solution must then be implemented. And at that time, then KZN had a contract with the department, then engaged on it and got to appoint the first service provider, which was LDM, and they started to work on those modules that were available on ACIBA. And in 2018, then, the Deloitte contract that we had, or the first service provider that we had on the SAGE part of it, expired. And then from there, the LDM contract, there were performance issues, and the there, then they started working on the work in terms of the ACIBUS module. In terms of the strategy, the PMTE strategy as it was instituted in 2011, it was one of the key pillars of the strategy that we must have an enterprise resource planning solution in the department. And that solution must then move the department from government transversal systems into a GRAP compliant solution in terms of what we need to move the PMTE strategy going forward. Then a plan was then, also the procurement plan or the procurement strategy was that we didn't have capacity in-house to develop this ERP solution. Then that decision was made to say for the core business processes in terms of the real estate management and a capital project and also the asset, immovable asset management, we will then go out and get an off-the-shelf solution to be implemented. And National Treasury then granted that permission to for us to procure the solution. In terms of in 2011 up to now, the current transversal system that we had at the time was BES, Logis, and Fairfall. We also had from the core business, we had what we call WCS, which is a works control system, and also we had a property management system. Those systems were legacy systems. And then as part of the strategy now, we needed to look at a modern, and GRAP compliant solution, which then led to the two solutions. And it was not only, or it was at the time in 2015 that an assessment also had to be made to check if the SAGE and the ACIBUS were the best fit solutions in the industry and also in the world. So ICT, together with the business stakeholders, then they conducted an assessment to check which solutions are available and if the two choice of solutions, they do comply, if I can put it, or meet the requirements in terms of standards, GRAP standards, and also if they are the best or innovative solutions that we can bring into the department. And yes, Chairperson, it was found that the two were the leading solutions as per one of the research houses, which is Gartner, that they used at the time to determine that. And then we had to move in terms of that. As part of that assessment, also internally, then they looked at the functional the functionality of the system vis-a-vis the business requirements that we had from an PMTE perspective. And the main one, I would say that the criteria that they used is that we shouldn't spend more money in terms of development or customization, but we rather have a solution that will come with already built-in functionality at a level of 70%. So they used that criteria for us to then arrive at to make that decision. And in terms of the lease management, it was found that both solutions, they scored 96%, and then in terms of facility management, it was 80%. In terms of movable asset, it was 80%. In construction projects and budgeting, it was 74%. And user demand management, client relations, which is our facility management perspective and RIAS perspective, then they scored 70%. SCM was the only area that was under, the solutions didn't provide adequate functionality for us to move with supply chain management processes in terms of procurement. And this exercise that I've just taken you through, it was then conducted with Accenture as one of the service providers that was assisting the department to arrive at that strategic decision. And over and above the functionality assessment, we also from ICT had to look at if we do take on the solutions, what is the flexibility of us expanding? That is one issue. And also because we have a lot of users both nationally and regional office, and also with that strategic view to say we might be able to expand to our sister provincial departments. So we had to look at the licensing model in terms of that if we have more users coming on board. And also because we have almost over 100,000 records or in terms of the asset register, we had to look at the size and the capacity in terms of the records that we needed to have in the system. And we found that those two solutions, they allow us unlimited records in terms of capacity. And of course, because we had internal platforms in the environment that we needed to integrate, and also reuse in terms of shaping the solutions. We had to look at compatibility with some of the leading platforms when it comes to the technology. And also because our user base is more mobile, we had to look at a solution that will allow us not to be office-based, but to be able to access the systems anywhere, anytime, using any mechanism. So we then had to look at a web-based application in terms of how that these two solutions are provided. And I'm going to jump some of the slides, Chairperson, but I will run into the ones that will give proper context. In terms of the applications that we have, also, like I mentioned before, that we had legacy systems that are actually then keeping us to be investing on them because of the technology is no longer available and supported by most of the service providers in the environment. So in terms of what we had, we did that assessment and map it against the applications that were required for PMTE core business processes. So in terms of asset management, we then, because Akibas started with Sage when we started that module of IAR, we had Akibas, and then we had the SaaS solution which was used for business intelligence and reporting and dashboards, and then WCS which we use for our capital projects, PMIS for property management. The green is legacy systems, Chairperson. And then at the time also, there was a part of the asset register that it was on Excel. So the department who were using Excel in some aspects. And then we had a GIS solution, which is for our special views and planning and special data planning, and also the locations of all these assets that we have. And for acquisition or accommodation and analysis and planning, we had a smaller solution that we're using for project tracking. It's not at an enterprise view level. And also then we're using SafetyNet for to check our suppliers on the centralized service provider database at National Treasury. Apologies, Chairperson. And then the slides continue just to show that from then acquisition of the IAR assets, if I can put it like that, we're using PMIS and WCS. Construction, I've mentioned that, and Ria Patala to track the invoices. And in terms of maintenance, then we had a security maintenance solution, and then we had an OHS maintenance management system, and also the other systems as I have mentioned before. And in terms of, I'm going to skip through this one because it's the same, but what is key is that for financial processes and management, then we had Sage for PMTE in order to do financial management. Then after all this analysis and benchmarking, then there was two solutions that were of choice or of the strategic choice of the department. Akibas, it was more for us than to use it for immovable asset management and movable asset management for the lease administration and facility management, condition assessment, and project management. And Sage, then it will do the financial transactions on the asset or the departmental assets that we had, and accounting, of course. And this slide just shows that we did consider the VMIX in terms of deriving an end-to-end value chain process that these solutions must support. So from when they plan in terms of acquiring assets, in terms of then when they do the actual acquisition at PMTE, then accountability performance up until disposal. And at the bottom, you'll see, Chairperson, that what is key and drove our requirements with the business stakeholders was that because they've moved to draft reporting standards, we had to make sure that the information that we have and the solutions that we have are complying to that in terms of that. Then what happened is that we looked at the Akibas with a suite of solutions that came in and mapped in terms of the key areas of what the value chain for PMTE in line with the with IDMS processes, so that we are able then to see if the modules or the functionality that we require will be able to administer to that. This slide just shows that of the key functionalities and modules that we have on Akibas, there is still other solutions that must integrate, Chairperson, and I must emphasize that. It doesn't mean that with Akibas we'll have all the capabilities that are required, but then we prioritize the key modules that will allow us to digitize the core processes. For instance, for for facility management, you will know that with 4IR will have to do a maintenance in terms of tracking or real-time monitoring, maybe for instance for lifts or electricity meters and all that. Those will form part of our Internet of Things capabilities that must integrate into this solution. So I just wanted to show this slide so that it's not encompassing all of them, but we did consider what are the other key solutions and capabilities that must be able to integrate in terms of that. I'm not going to unpack all of the modules, Chairperson, but what is key is that in terms of the 8 modules that were prioritized, unscheduled maintenance was one of them. That it was for us to do our customer relations in terms of facility management and be able then to effectively provide services to our client departments and at the same time to be effective in reducing operational costs and increased customer satisfaction. And then the second area of consideration for the module was the lease administration. And this one, we wanted to centralize and automate lease administration processes to increase efficiency and reduce errors and avoid penalties. And the condition assessment, this one was for us to allow for proactive maintenance to be a capability in the department, for us to track and effectively manage deferred maintenance facilities to mitigate risk and enable closed-loop processes and take corrective actions. Then infrastructure budgeting, this one you will know, Chairperson, that a huge budget in relation to capital projects, but it was for that to say we should be able to manage projects across multiple sites and consolidate planning and activities, and for us to integrate planning end-to-end. And then also, in line with the strategic goals and initiatives in the strategic plan of the organization. Project management is very key. I think from capital projects to us doing facility management, you will know that at facility also we do renovations and also expansions of those facilities. So project management is also one of the key modules that was identified as one of the capability or the area that we must digitize. In terms of SAGE, we then looked at what is required from a reporting perspective and also what level of integrations do we need and what information do we need. And bringing all of them together, then we arrived at that to say at the bottom, all the modules mapped to the value chain from planning to disposal to portfolio analysis in terms of a provision of user client requirements. SAGE will then cut across in terms of integrations and sharing information with Archibus. So we needed to build a robust integration between Archibus and SAGE for us to be able to do that. And also underneath that is underlying our infrastructure, ICT infrastructure in terms of connectivity and also the infrastructure for computing and storage and all that. And for us then we looked at what are the legal and regulatory requirements that we need to consider as we are building these solutions, and then at the same time also managing risk and providing quality assurance. And the current status of where we are, I will start with the Archibus as the one of the solutions for the ERP. With the two service providers that came on board, we were able then to implement the immovable asset management module, and we were able also to implement the unscheduled maintenance module for facility management branch, and we were able to implement lift-in module for the rent and the finance branch. And then for the condition assessment, we couldn't move into an implementation. We ended at the user acceptance testing, and you will see that there is... okay. With a condition assessment module, we ended up at user acceptance testing. And this one, I think the business from our side, our stakeholders, they were not ready in terms of readiness for the users to take on this module. And in terms of the movable asset management, we ended up with user acceptance testing when we were supposed to go live. Then there was a data issue in terms of alignment with the movable asset management data with the immovable asset management data. So we had to roll back in terms of going live and to fix that alignment in terms of the two data sets that we have. In in terms of the lease out, we then were able to excuse me,
madam. Members are saying you are too fast, and we only have this presentation today. We don't have any other. So to try to study the notes that you are making. Yes. Thank you.
Oh, apologies, Chairperson. Apologies,
so
I will try to be slower.
Okay.
All right. In terms of the lease out module that came with the Archibus, this one, we only managed to define the user requirements with the business stakeholders. We couldn't complete the rest of the customization and the user testing or the solution testing and rolling out. And the issue here is that because most of the key stakeholders were focused on the lease-in module and we were using the same team, so we couldn't move with the timelines as projected on the project plan, so we only managed to finish the user requirements. And then in terms of preventative maintenance, this one also the same issue. We then managed only to document the requirements and confirm with the business stakeholders, but we couldn't move with the rest of the activities for us to implement this module. In terms of infrastructure budgeting and condition and project construction project management module, this one we didn't document the user requirements, and the engagement with the respective branch was that the solution came with an end-to-end project management processes. So what we did with them then is that we took what we call the vanilla version of the solution, which is out of the box, if I can put it like that, Chairperson, and then we ran it through with them in terms of the processes in terms of project management. But we couldn't implement it and get sign off from the respective branch. And also because in terms of data, we were not ready for us to load it into this module for capital projects. So it had to be then, we couldn't finish with it and move with it in relation to that. So what is available on the current modules that are live from 2018? In terms of the immovable asset register, we managed to load from their Excel spreadsheet where they were managing the asset register into this solution. And we then had data cleaning and data integrity checks with them, and to the point that then they were able to say we can go live with it. And then also the capability that is available on this asset rest module is that we are able to link the land and the improvements that are done on the facilities on this asset register. And then also the capability to allow the RIAS branch to be able to do updating of the asset register into this module, and also for them to assign the user departments of each of the facilities that they have or that is in this register. So that is what we have. I must mention, Chairperson, that there is key functional requirements that they have brought to our attention that we need to complete in terms of disposal, because at the time we couldn't then do the disposal functionality or implemented it. And then the other issue in relation to the evaluation of the assets also is one key area that they have highlighted that we need to enhance and improve on it, on how they calculate the value of these assets. So those are the main key issues that are still outstanding for the immovable asset register module. But they are able now, I think I've got some screenshots that are part of this presentation that shows the views, the different views that they can have in terms of them managing and updating this asset register. And also what I didn't mention here is that we're able also to integrate with our GIS solution, which gives them a spatial view in terms of the location of this asset that they are managing. And as part of their verification, they use that GIS functionality in this module to locate and also to just confirm the location of this asset. And in terms of unscheduled maintenance, we implemented this module with a facility management branch, and this one, it was more for us to provide a frontline service in terms of the client departments and other stakeholders for them to be able to have a centralized entry into the, I will say, the frontline services in relation to the accommodation and asset management. So the first step that we did was to implement a call logging and numbers, which is then meant we had to have a call center in the department, which is a national call center for us, where all the regions also utilize the same call center, and all the client departments, then they call that call center for them to log facility issues or any other inquiries that they might have. And this module is the one that is assisting us actually to manage that client relation in terms of the day-to-day operations when we when it comes to facility management for the facility, for FM branch. And also, the other functionality is that we are able then on that on this module to assign the calls that we have received to the service providers that we have term contracts on, or where we have if we have went in we have a procurement mechanism in place with them, then we are able to activate them and assign them these calls. And we are able then also to close the calls when the jobs are done. And then also we are able to add the employees, clients, details and all that. And then also we are able to add the service providers linked to this facility management services that we have on Akibus. And then also to view feedback from the client departments, we have that capability. I must mention that, Chairperson, that this module is one of the ones that created, I will say, some of the risks and the issues and the lessons learned as we're implementing, because in this module we have over-customized it, unlike taking it out of the box and implementing it in line with the business processes. So it has created complexities, and also it's impacting in terms of the performance of the system itself. So the facility branch has brought key requirements that we need to look at, but also to revisit this module and see how we can then best customize it so that it doesn't create the bottlenecks and also the performance issues that comes to this module. But it's operational and it's working and giving us that frontline service in terms of the services that we render. Then we have the list-in module, which is also active, which is been spearheaded by the REMS branch and also the finance branch. And in this one, the functionalities that are available and active that the branches are using, they are able to create and load asset verification and approval in terms of the leased facilities and buildings. And then also they are able to capture and verify and validate or approve the lease agreements. And also they are able then to do lease renewals, verifications and approvals. They are able to do lease suspensions, verification, approval, and terminations. And then also cost adjustment is able, it's one functionality that is able to be here. Then also there's an automatic seamless interface or integration payment of all valid leases from Akibus to Sage for the full term of the lease. And there's also a centralized single source supplier information, I think in terms of the landlords that we have, so that view is available in the system itself. And then there's also seamless interface of the suppliers details from Sage to Akibus when we are capturing a lease. So I must mention that Chairperson, with this module is one of the areas where we are deriving value in terms of what we are doing, because all the lease are paid on a monthly basis using this module. And I think it's for now, it does have some enhancements and improvements that we must do from a control perspective, but it's operational and it's working. I think I just picked one of the system views what we have in terms of the immovable asset register, just to show what we have currently in the system. The asset register itself, you have different reports in terms of facilities. If you want to look at the land parcels and the linking of facilities and all that. So this is just to show, I think also the RIAS team in the coming weeks, they will be demonstrating it into details. I'm not going to go into it, of what they have in terms of their asset register in this system. And then in terms of the FM call logging and the unscheduled maintenance, this is just to show the number or the capability that we have in terms of the calls that are locked and which ones are open, which ones were closed, which ones are in progress, at what stage. stage are they, and which role or which functionality or function is busy with that, and also different reports in terms of management reports that are required in relation to management of the facility calls that are logged in. And in this one, just gives a view of what is in the systems in terms of the leases and also the PROs, the facilities that they are linked, and the regions and the PROs and the lease posts that we use. So it also has that functionality. I just wanted to show that. I mentioned that we integrate to the GIS solution that we have. This one is just to give us a special view of how these assets are located in the country, and then for the RIAS team to be able to verify and get the correct location for them to make sure that their asset register is correct or complete, if I can put it like that. And then in terms, I mentioned that what drives most of this solution and the information that we would like to capture from a single centralized repository is to allow the branches to be able to report in terms of financial accounting and any other reporting that they need to do. And because the PMTE is using the GRAP standards, one of the focus areas for us as ICT, we had to focus on the reports to ensure that they comply, because that is what is expected in terms of PFMA and also the National Treasury in terms of reporting. So these are the GRAP reports that are active since 2018 in relation to the immovable asset register, or if I can put it in terms of the asset registers that we have in the environment. And there is more requirements that they have communicated to the ICT team to look at, where they want now to either there must be static reports, or where they also require dynamic reports for their own management functions that they need, and also for decision making in terms of managing the asset in the department. So we will then be looking at those reports going forward. And then in terms of the SAGE solution, we have the accounts payable module that is live and working since 2016-18, and then also the accounts receivable, we have that, and then the financial reporting in terms of, example, trial balance and bank recon reports or yes reports, and then also we have the process of integration or interface from the old system that I mentioned of WCS and PMIS. I must say that, Chairperson, our drive was to phase out these legacy systems. We still do payments into this using these two systems, and which also create that what is a reconciliation issue when it comes to financial accounting and reporting. And because now we also don't want to use multiple systems transacting on the immovable asset register. And then we also have interface with the Archibus list in PESAL more to link the people that must verify or certain roles in the system as they are executing certain profiles on the system. And then I mentioned that we have that interface to the central database at National Treasury for the service providers for us to do the validations in terms of the service providers. I think our last one, there's also integration to the bank staff application. Apologies, Chairperson, we also integrate to that for us to make payments from the SAGE solution, especially for certain thresholds of amounts that we have to pay on a day-to-day basis. And then we have variable payments, which this one is live, but then we couldn't complete the full training on the user base that we have, or the financial users that we have, and we're looking then to intensify and just also to bring in a refresher training in terms of the functionality of this solution. In terms of expenditure, before I get to the numbers, before I go to that, Chairperson, I must mention one issue also. You will see on the outstanding modules that we need to do on SAGE. There's the procure-to-pay module that we're supposed to implement on SAGE. I took it out because remember I said SCM scored less on the functionality review that we were doing when the adoption of the solutions was done. So what we are doing now with SCM, we have sat with them and we have agreed on the requirements, and then we are going to integrate, to interrogate and with an e-procurement solution end-to-end. But there is a procurement module in this environment for the finance team. And what I must mention that is that on PMTE, they are not using Logis. So it means they are using a manual system to do generation of acquisition of orders and all this, the other SEM processes. So this module comes with built-in procure-to-pay functionality. So we are still interrogating it with the supply chain colleagues and the finance colleagues to look at this module and also which capabilities can we switch on while we go and solve another solution for end-to-end procurement solution for that. Then in terms of, before I get to the project expenditure, there has been some challenges with the implementation of this solution. And one of it is that, especially with the modules that we couldn't go live, the availability of the stakeholders for them to confirm the user requirements and also to confirm the functionality in the system and the provision of data that is required for those modules, it was one of the key areas that it's still a challenge for us. And also when we're implementing the project also, the executive was not, there was no support in terms of the program itself, in a sense that we were, at ICT, we were more working with the technical or the technical managers, if I can put it from that perspective, and they had to make decisions in terms of what must be done in terms of those modules. And also with the two service providers that we had, and there was poor project governance in terms of accountability and sticking to the deliverables and timelines and also the milestones of those projects. And then also one of the huge areas that also delayed and also caused the delay in terms of implementing and completing these modules was that we didn't have documented business processes in the department. So you will have it, one region is implementing, for instance, an SEM process this way, the other one is doing that way. So when we had to come with a solution, it was there to say we don't have an approved business process that is talking to the overall department in terms of how we do business. So I think then it was one of the lessons learned, and the department then started to initiate a project where they looked at IDMS processes, and then they have documented those ones, and then to get the branches also to look at the value chain processes in terms of handshakes, because that is what is key from ICT when we do integrations and also interfaces for us into the solution. So business processes is still key for us from ICT to move with the implementation of all these requirements. The other issue that we had that we didn't put more effort on it was change management. Most of the workforce, if I can put it like that, or the officials in the department, they've been using the WCS, which is the work control system, which is a legacy system, and the PMIS solution. So, and also the other business like BAS and Logis and all that. So when you bring in a new solution also, we were supposed to train them, create awareness, get them to participate so that it's an easier adoption in terms of us moving. And you will see in one of the modules, we couldn't even get to training in terms of those modules. So availability of the users and commitment for training and to get them to adopt the solutions was one of the issues, which is a lesson learned from us also. In terms of poor project finance management, that also has been one of the gray areas for us in terms of managing. We were managing hours and effort instead of outputs, deliverables, and milestones. So you will have your service provider spending hours, and then but then the output is not there. So I think it's one of the areas that we have to relook to say how we then do project finance with the current program. It must change, and so that we are able to meet the financial budget commitments that we have made in relation to milestones, because milestones also translates to us to performance in terms of what we have promised in terms to the branches. And all this had a huge impact on the deliverables and the project scope. In some areas, we had to tweak the scope and look at addressing some of the day-to-day operations that the branches will raise as the project is in execution. So the project governance was not there. transcripts, and also the amendments in terms of the scope, whether reduction or expansion on it. So we it's one of the lessons learned that we have had. But it's not all gloom. The lessons that we have learned have increased and has also made us to plan better, change the implementation strategies, look at the sourcing strategies that we have, look at how then we deal with the governance and the buy-in and the adoption in the organization, and also change the focus in terms of the strategic program in terms of that. And I will move then to this slide. For Archibus project, I mentioned that there were two contractors or service providers that were appointed. The first one was the LGM, which was at the time when we engaged on the KZN contract. And the amount that was awarded was 22 million. And at the end of the project, then we spent 16.5 million on the contract. And then in terms of the second service provider that came on board, we awarded 22.8 million of the contract, and then we spent 19 million of the contract in terms of that. And between the two, because the work that was done at LDM to a certain point in terms of milestones, it was then completed, not completed, but carried over to LDM. And together with them, we are at the point where we only had, we have only three modules that are live vis-a-vis the eight modules that were prioritized for implementation over the five-year period. In terms of SAGE, which started in 2011-2012, we had two contracts in place. The first one was with Deloitte, where the award amount was 18 million, 18.2 million, and then we spent 15.4 million on the SAGE solution implementation. And then when it ended with Deloitte, we then got ACTEC service provider, which we awarded 49.8 million, and then we have spent 49.3 million on these two solutions. Chairperson, the risks that I have highlighted, I just want to bring the committee that we, of course, it was lessons learned, but then what key mitigations then are we putting in place for us to move forward in completion of this ERP? The first high risk for us was lack of executive buy-in. So the executive committee then signed a memorandum to support the ERP rollout. And then that was done in 2021, December. And then we had a business case that was also signed by the EXCO members in December 2021. And then also we had to appoint a program sponsor. And then also we have developed an accounting of implementing modules to the branch heads. So each module then will have to be aligned to each branch, and the branch head or a specific DDG of a specific branch must take accountability and ownership for us to drive the implementation of this new modules. And the ERP program is a standing point on the EXCO meeting, and also on audit committee we are expected to provide feedback in terms of the progress for that oversight and monitoring, and also at different main core committees in the department is one of the key agenda or standing agenda, so that we also give feedback in terms of digitization into the environment. And also today we are here for the portfolio committee. I think last year in November we provided a written feedback, and today it's another feedback that we are giving. From a poor project governance risk, we have established a subcommittee of ESCO so that we focus on this program, which is an ICT ESCO committee that sits on a monthly basis, and on a tactical and management level, we have established an ICT operations committee where we have all the branches and the stakeholders sitting in the ICT ops committee to look at this program and the challenges that we have and the plans and how then we're going to move forward. At IT Expo level, it's all the DDGs, and it's chaired by the DDG Corporate Services as delegated by the acting DG. And then in terms of unavailability of approved business cases, as is N2B business processes for that matter, and we are working closely in hand with the project management office. They are looking into developing the IDMS processes. We've been continuously engaging with that DDG to say it's very prudent that the organization moves in terms of defining and standardizing the IDMS processes, because that is key for the automation of this business processes. So that project is fun from the project management office, but they are making progress. We have the SE's business processes, and they are then embarking on engaging the branches to confirm their business processes, so that when we start with the implementation of those ones, we are able to do that. This one actually is supposed to be the second risk that we have, poor data quality. And this one is... it has a huge impact on the success of the program, because as much as we can bring the solutions on board, if we don't have complete and accurate data to feed into this system, it's an issue. So previously, almost 80% of the modules had to be rolled back so that we can deal with the data issues. So what we have done as part of the ICT Ops Committee, we have also looked at... we have established a task team, a data task team, where we have the different subject matter experts when it comes to data that fit into this task team, look at cross or common data, I will say data objects or information that must be captured, and governance and quality around that data. So we have it established, but I must mention that also we do have challenges, because the branches themselves, they don't have capacity in terms of this subject matter expert when it comes to system data analysts and professionals. So, but we have started, and we are looking at it so that we have at least a governance around it, a data governance around it, so that we don't have an issue of rollbacks when we do implement the solution. In terms of insufficient change management, this one we would like to establish it when the program is active again, in terms of change management in relation with our HR, organizational development. They drive change management in the organization together with communication chief directorate, for us to start doing awareness, and also making sure that we streamline the training to the right users and officials, and also get the buy-in from, and also the training in terms of regional offices. They must then provide us change, because this one also we have noticed that the previous program, when we were executing, the involvement of the regional offices, it was minimal. So we need to bring them on board going forward, because the systems are used at the regions. So we need to make sure that they are on board as part of our change or stakeholder management. Cost overruns, we have identified potential threats and uncertainties that may impact on the financial budget of this project. For instance, the estimates and the budget projections, we will have to put in a cost monitoring control in such a way, as I mentioned, that previously we were monitoring effort in terms of hours, but now we're measuring in terms of milestones, so that we also mitigate when it comes to paying service providers that have been delivered in terms of the milestones. And also then take, if there's deviations, there's governance, as I mentioned, that there's ICT Expo. If there's also deviations, we need to then look at the Departmental Budget Committee in terms of deviations, if there is, in terms of this program, and then take corrective actions. And then we'll be tracking on a weekly basis as part of project management, track the expenses and the expenditures, and then also manage the scope in the different project committees that we have, so that we don't have expansions or variations that we need to look at in terms of that. And then also we will be, I think we have actually engaged the GRC, we have conducted a risk assessment in terms of the ERP program and what are the mitigations for us as we move forward. So that oversight from governance and risk compliance branch, they are part of the stakeholder and part of the ICT Ops Committee also, and they are part of the IT Expo Committee, for them to assist us in managing and conducting risk assessments and mitigating on the program. In terms of the Atibas, Chairperson, I must say that we are in the final stages of appointing a service provider. And I must say that with one of the lessons learned, because one of the contractors, we had to release them because of poor performance on the project. So we changed the procurement strategy when the business case was signed in 2021. So we went on the market. We didn't get a service provider, I think, twice in the market. We published and came back, and we couldn't find a successful implementation partner to take us through. And then it was, we then re-looked to say, we approached the OEM of Akibas because they are the owners of this technology. Then they must make sure that the technology that we have acquired and implemented and invested in, they will deliver value and make sure that we complete it. So that procurement strategy was then taken through to National Treasury, which then for deviation for that, which was then approved and delegated to the acting DG, and then that was approved, and it went through the procurement committees for approval, and that's where we are in terms of that. But the plan, if we get the service provider on board, that will be then will mean we will move with the CPM module. We will then implement the movable asset management module. We'll then implement and finalize the preventative module, and then we will then look at the enhancements that I have communicated from the branches of the active modules in terms of the IAR module and the lease-in and also the facility management. In terms of the SAGE service provider, that one, we went on to market, I think, twice. It's the second time that we went also last year, and still we didn't get a successful implementation partner. And we have to restart the process, which we have started with a SEM colleague in terms of getting a new service provider to be on board. And this one is key for us to have a long-term maintenance and support, because the SAGE system is our engine for payment. So we need to have a proper capacity for us to be able to secure and make the system stable and also not vulnerable to attacks. So that's where we are, and should everything go on well with the service providers, and we did have an implementation high-level plan in terms of the SAGE and Akibas, and what are the areas that we would like to prioritize for implementation, given the lessons learned and the functionality requirements. And the functionality requirements for us, and taking into consideration the AGSA issues that they have raised on the existing systems in terms of controls and security controls. So we have then looked at a high-level plan that we are engaging with management and different branches for us to be able to move forward. Thank you, Chairperson. I hope I was slow. I slowed down a little bit. But if there's any, I can still go back to the previous slides if I need to just re-emphasize. Thank you, Acting DG. Over to you.
I don't know whether do you have any words or what, but we continue.
Yes, please continue, Chairperson. I'm sorry, a call came through. Apologies.
Okay, thank you. Thank you so much for this detailed presentation. I now invite honorable members to engage and interact with this presentation. On my screen, it is showing Honorable Hicklin, Honorable Tring, and Honorable Siwisa. Honorable Hicklin, Van Kalvik, Honorable Mashele,
Honorable Jomo. Yes, ma'am.
Okay, thank you so much. In that order, please.
Thank you, Chair. If the screen can be, the presentation can be removed, that would also help a little. I I do want to say that the presenter was going at such speed that I have to admit to being a little dizzy. I honestly, I really was quite phased at one point. I couldn't follow a lot of what was going on, so I just made some notes that I'm going to say in general. When I was a councillor in the city of Johannesburg, we had a SAP system that they ran the billing off, and in order to make the billing system what the city of Johannesburg wanted, they had a team of ICT people who started rearranging the code or rearranging the source code or messing with the source code to such an extent that at the end of the day they could not get any SAP support because they bastardized, if you'll excuse the expression, the software to such an extent that SAP refused to try and support them anymore because they no longer recognized the system that they eventually used, because they had messed around with it to such an extent. I worry dramatically when I hear that people are changing things within Archibus and Sage in order to customize it to fit what DPWI wants, because that leads to a lot of problems. You will not be able to get support. I then think to myself, is that the reason that the likes of a Deloitte failed to meet the expectations and were therefore fired for poor performance? Was there too much interference in what was asked of them or what was done from the department side? It also, once you start fiddling with the source code of a software system, you open that system up to manipulation and therefore, dare I say it, corruption. And once you do that, the person who has manipulated the system or who has adapted the system to whatever specifications they need to make, once they leave the organization, they take all that knowledge with them. And therefore, you lose all institutional knowledge of how to actually reverse or actually keep the system going. I am concerned about the amount of money that has actually been spent by the Department of Public Works and Infrastructure since 2011 or 2015. Again, I am a little bit adrift about when the Archibus system really came into being. I'm going to say 2015, from when Deloitte kind of departed. 16.5 million plus 19.8 million on Archibus, 15.4 million and 49.3 million on Sage, and yet we only have three sort of working modules of Archibus. I'm really concerned about that amount of money, and we only have three partially working modules on Archibus. What is it going to cost for the rest of the software to go live? There was talk that I heard last year, if memory serves me correctly, of another software architecture being evaluated. What is that other architecture, and is it still on the cards? When you have multiple payment options or multiple payroll systems being manipulated to integrate one with the other, that again opens loopholes for corruption and for money to disappear from one black hole into another black hole. Let's not forget that the government itself did not trust the Department of Public Works and Infrastructure with the 2 billion rand that is being allocated for the rebuild APWI at all. It's going directly to the managing agent, Kocha through GBSA. Does this have anything to do with the fact that we have a trust deficit? The DPWI has a trust deficit within its own departments because of the fact that we have so few modules within the DPWI that are functional. I mean, if you think about it, the most important aspect, preventative maintenance, is not live. The only thing that is live is limited immovable asset register and unscheduled maintenance and to an extent lease in. We have over-customized, and I'm using Samedi's word, over-customized the software. I worry about terms like that. Let me also remind us of the BDO report that was commissioned because of a lack of accountability, severe overruns, both in time and costs on so many reports, and the Auditor General's report on material irregularities, particularly pertaining to the PMTE, in procurement non-compliance resulting in the overpricing of procurement of goods and services and assets not safeguarded and payments not made in time and in line with contracts. All of this is controlled by our ERP system. I know that and I said it earlier, the presentation went so unbelievably fast that I found myself in a bit of a tailspin, but I am concerned that our ERP system does not address any of the issues that were raised by the Auditor General's report on material irregularities, by the BDO report on cost overruns, time overruns, because we don't have any of these safeguards in check. And I'm really, really, really worried about it. And the fact that we are over-customizing on software. I'm not a software engineer. Yes, I was the news editor of Computer Week for a very long time. I was the editor of Electronics News. I've been a journalist for a very long time in the computer industry. It's not by any stretch of the imagination my forte, but I am very aware of the fact that when you mess with software, you are asking for problems. These are just questions I am highlighting because they are concerns that I have. I will leave it there and ask for some answers, and hopefully they will allay some of my fears. Thank you so much, Chair, for the opportunity.
Thank you, Honourable Hickman. Honourable Trin.
Thank you, Chair. Chair, just a few questions from my side. First is, are all entities of public works and infrastructure using the GRAP system, the accounting system? Because one can only imagine the kind of confusion that would emanate from not using the same accounting system. So that I think would be my first question. Do we have all entities, so within public works, using the generally recognized accounting system? Then secondly, with regards to the modules found on Archibus, who has access to those modules? Who determines who uses which module? And how effective are those modules? The next question then is when is the revised go live date for all modules? Understand that some were not ready for the go live date, but when will that go live date be? For all of the modules on Archibus. Now, think slide 36 shows that only 5 of the 8 modules on the dashboard, the status dashboard, that only 5 of the 8 modules are incomplete. So what is the, and I may have missed because of our presenter also going at warp speed, so I may have missed if there was a turnaround time in terms of the completion of those 5 incomplete modules on the dashboard. So what is the turnaround time plan and progress for those modules that were incomplete? Then, Chair, the procuring of the service provider, the use of a service provider, to a large extent, I think, speaks to a lack of capacity. But it also comes down to, it also comes with added costs. So when you're procuring a particular service provider for Archivus, for example, it now comes with added costs, but I think in my view, it also comes with some risks, particularly when the service provider knows that their client lacks institutional, systemic, or structural competence in the running of a particular system like Archivus. So my question then is, if that is the case, is it possible, if the work cannot be done in-house by PMTE, is it not possible to procure the service of another sister department? Do we not have the internal capacity within any of our departments to do the work of the service provider that we wish to procure? And I want to agree with Honorable Hicklin when she speaks about tampering also with some of the IT systems. When I served as a councillor in Etiquini Municipality, we had a similar challenge where the municipal manager moved away from the internal revenue system that we actually had. We spent some 500 million rand on an in-house system or on a new system, which created huge problems when it came to properly properly billing people and citizens or residents in Etiquini. So I think that it does come with some challenges when one begins to fidget with tried and tested systems. But my last question, Chair, is how dependent is the successful, accurate completion of Archivus on provinces and municipalities? With the effective populating, with these municipalities or provinces effectively populating the requisite property data on the system? Thank you, Chair.
Thank you, Honorable Hicklin. Honorable Suwisa.
Thank you, Chair, and good morning, everyone. Chair, I just have a few questions, and I think Honorable Hicklin and Honorable Sirin touched on some of the issues, so I won't go into them. Since my question would be, Chair, since the formation or the installation or the process of starting this new model of billing, what is the rate of success? And now, with the issue that we all picked up of the 5 out of 8 programs that have not, or modules that have not been completed, and also taking into consideration that this process started in 2012, at some point it was stopped, and then a change of service provider was done because the service provider did not actually do what needs to be done. And what are the financial implications in the delay of the whole process? And then is the module going to be able to monitor project management and also deal with cost effectiveness with only working with 3 systems at this moment? What are the challenges that have been identified in the process of completing the 8 modules or introducing the ERP? And then when did, okay, the one of when did the module come into effect, I think it's, we are still working on that because I don't think it's fully functional if we've got only 3 out of 8 that is functional. And then coming to project management, which has been mentioned within the system itself or the model itself, is the model able to identify or bring up red flags? Because, Chair, we've got the problem of contractors that don't actually finish their projects, and which leads to service delivery being hampered. So if we talk about project management, is the system able to show red flags of contractors that have been given projects to do for the Department of Public Works? And another thing, is the system only going to be operated from national level, or is it also, maybe I missed it, as Honorable Tring was saying, the presenter was moving at the speed of Michael Schumacher, so maybe we also missed it somewhere, but is the system only going to be operated from national, or are the regional officers also going to have access to that? And to ensure that the system actually works at the regional level, what monitoring and evaluation tools have been put in place? And also, if the presenter can go back for me just a little bit on the preventative measures that have been put in place. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you, Honorable Suiza. Honorable Frans Galway.
Thank you, Chairperson, and good morning to the Honorable Chairperson, members, Minister DM, departmental officials led by the Acting DG, as well as our staff members. Chairperson, I was kicked out for a bit, so I'm not sure, pardon me, if I'm going to repeat questions that has been raised. I have limited it now to ensure that I don't repeat some of the questions that might have been raised. I want to welcome the presentation, Chairperson, and we've particularly decided to set this whole day out, or this whole portfolio time out for this particular subject, because it's of our concern and it's been dragging for a long time. And we notice a tendency, Chairperson, that we are being given broad information, and I couldn't keep up with the speed that was around this morning. Pardon me for that. So I touched here and there. Instead of giving us broad figures, Chair, as one project's expenditure, we need some more detail. Like for instance, we need to know which contractors were appointed to purchase the software from, and we need some slow, because we some of the terms are not well informed or familiar with it. Instead, there are a lot of abbreviations which I couldn't keep up with. So I need to be kept on par very slowly. Like, for instance, telling us who did you procure Archibus and Sage from in 2011, 2015, 2016, and 2018, respectively. What went wrong with each service provider in each of these years? In other words, Chairperson, for which reasons did the department remove each contractor in every year since 2011 till date? And I would like to know, do they have an assessment report or assessment reports that give reasons on what transpired in terms of those contracts? Then, Chairperson, I saw there's a huge expenditure in terms of both Archibus and Sage. contracts were ended. Like, for instance, 16 million out of 22 million for Archibus, and then 19 million out of 22 million, and then 15 million again out of 18 million for Sage in terms of Deloitte, and the other contractor, 49 million out of 49 million, and there's just a few thousands that were left, and then the projects were cancelled. So I want to know, Chairperson, did the expenditure align with the percentage of work that was expected to be done by each service provider and as per the timeline that they were given? And then clearly we were informed that the reason why the service providers were contracts were terminated is because of poor performance. So, which brings me to the next question, to say, were there any consequence management being instituted against the service providers for not performing as per expectation? Were there any recoupment of some of the money? And lastly, Chairperson, did the department include any clause in the contracts with the service providers in that regard to say that this is the expectation, this is the amount that we're going to pay, but in the event that you are not doing what you're supposed to be done, we're going to cancel the contract, and then you need to pay the amount back to us based on the performance levels? Then lastly, Chairperson, the presenter indicated, if I heard correctly, that PMTE still has a manual system base. And that is a huge, if I heard correctly, that is a point of concern to me. Because any eventuality can happen, including a disaster like a fire, and if there's no way of backupping the information in terms of a system, and you are only relying on a manual system, it's a point of concern. Can we get some clarification in terms of if all the entities are on a system base, or are there some of them only using a manual system? Thank you very much, Chairperson.
Thank you, Honorable Hans Kalbeck. Honorable Mashele.
Chairperson, thank you very much. Greetings to yourself, fellow members of the Portfolio Committee, the department led by the Minister, support staff of our Portfolio Committee, everyone in the platform. Good morning, Chair. I want to take a different line from what the other members took. It is of my view that as a portfolio committee and the department, we must drive transformation and innovation. Now, clearly from the presentation, we have a struggle with the system from 2011 up to date. And probably, in my narrow conclusion, is that as the department tries to look at an ERP, there is an obsession to say there is Archibus, there is Sage. Now the question is, if you go to the market with a particular trajectory. I don't want Chair to get into the integrity of the current system, its failures, its successes and all that. I just believe that South Africa is innovative. We do have brilliant minds and brains, and probably the department can go into the market and afford the South Africans and young people to be innovative and give them a solution into their problems. Maybe we can be at a better speed. Let me end there with my comment. Thank you.
Thank you, Honorable Mashele. Honorable Njabo.
Thank you, Chairperson. Good morning to you and members and the department led by the minister. I'm covered, Chair, especially on the issue of the service provider. I'm covered by the Honorable Skalvik on the issue of termination of service providers. I was in and out here because of network. If I can get the clarity on the leasing module model, I didn't hear the presentation clear on that one. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you, Honorable Njobo. I think DJ and your team, I think Honorable Mashele has put it their way. We are concerned as this portfolio committee of the way these things are done, Minister. We can't be talking about something that has been recently procured when we look at what has happened previously. And one of the questions that we ask, which I think Honorable Suwisa came in, who are these contractors? Because that information is not there. You're saying that, you know, we decided to cancel this contractor. And the unfortunate part is that a lot of money has been spent. Even now, when you talk of SAGE, you're still talking about 24-25 financial year. And each year when it comes to budget, you budget for this and money is being used. It is really concerning to us. And one other thing is that these companies that you employ, whether they finish the work or what, when you cancel them, they take crucial information of government properties with them. And I think, Minister, when you, in your budget vote, you mentioned an issue that you're going to deal with people that are stealing government properties. There are also people out there that have on their system government properties information. And when we try to ask about some of these properties, you'll find that there is no clear answer from the department. It's really concerning. And that's why we're bringing this to you, because as much as there is information that has been given here, there's also information not being given. Over to you, Didi.
Chair, may I have one last quick bite? There's just one thing that I see that I forgot to mention.
Okay, Honorable Higlin.
Thank you so much. I see that on the lease out portion that has not been activated as yet is a preventative maintenance module. That is a serious part of the PMTE, and also infrastructure budgeting has not been operationalized. which means that the PMTE cannot be operationalized. One of the biggest problems that we are having in terms of the PMTE is that it's only the property management entity. It cannot become the property management trading entity because it's not operationalized. So we have to get to a point, whether it's with Archibus or Sage, but I think it's the Archibus software that has to be operationalized in terms of the lease out, and it has to. We have to get to a point where infrastructure budgeting and preventative maintenance has to be operationalized. Otherwise, we are wasting our time with the software architecture. And I have to agree with you, Chair, every time we get a new software operator in, because we are dissatisfied with the old software operator, that software operator or that company has had access to vital, sensitive government information. They take that information with them. Are they signing NDAs, non-disclosure agreements? Are they sticking to those NDAs? Because they have the very heart of the DPWI on their systems. That's dangerous in the extreme. That, you know, we've got to be so careful, A, that we as a department are not wasting money, but we have to make sure that those corporates, those companies who have access to the most sensitive information at the heart of the Department of Public Works and Infrastructure, don't sell or do nefarious things with the information that they have. Thank you so much, Chair, for the second bite.
Thank you, Honourable Hickman. How about you, Acting DG and your team?
Thank you, Chairperson. I will try and deal with the more broader questions, and my technical colleagues will deal with the more detailed responses. Honourable Higlin, on the issue of what other architecture are being investigated, I think every new executive authority, when they come to an organisation, the first thing that they would like to understand is what are the ICT systems that are in place and are they helping? And what came up through when we were engaging with the ministers as branches, various branches, the one common thread was that we have a challenge of ICT. So obviously then there will be a follow-up to say, but what are you doing about it? Why is the current system Archibus not working? So on the historical context, when the end-to-end resource planning idea came about, because Public Works had so many systems that were running parallel. We had Works for You for FM, PMIS, which is Property Management Information System, the Works Control System, Riapatala, I think there was another one at the time, if my mind is failing me right now, I cannot remember the fifth one. But there were many systems that were running parallel. Hence the idea of bringing an architecture that will then bring everything together. And this is where the issue of over-customization comes from, because we had so many systems and we're trying to put those particular systems within Archibus, because Archibus was sold as a system that you can just plug and play whatever systems that you have as an organization, and that failed. So hence the need for branches to want to try and make Archibus what they want it to be. And it never really went. But what we're also finding out, Chairperson, is that as an entity, if you look at property management, there is internationally accepted property management systems that are far and readily available in the market, and also facilities management systems that are readily available in the market. Now, our question is, how do we then put those together into one system? And we were informed that Archibus is able to take those various systems and put them in one big system for the department. And hence, later, I think later last year or the year before, the decision to actually move away from trying to appoint various service providers? Can't we just go directly to Akibus as the original manufacturer or the original developer of the architecture for us to use? And I think that's where the Zimedi and team are at the moment, to say we do have these internationally acclaimed systems that are being used by the industry successfully. What we don't want to have is 10 different systems running in one organization. Therefore, we want one big system that will be able to host all those various systems in. There was also a, I think several honorable members were asking about who are these service providers. So the acronyms that are there in the Zimedi's presentation, I just forget them, slide numbers, are actually the company names. So for Akibus, we had ALCM as a company, and we also had LDM as a company that we used to implement Akibus, and I think Zimedi will deal with the failures of those companies and why they failed, and I think the over-customization was part of it. Akibus, which is the latest service provider, which is Akibus itself, and for Sage, we had used Deloitte and a company called ACC Tech. So those companies are there. It's just that when they appear as acronyms, maybe it's not clear whether these are company names or not, but they are company names, and the expenditures are aligned. They are also included in those slides. I think it's slides 46 and 47. And then another question from Honorable Tring, whether the other entities are operating on GRAP. Our understanding is that yes, Honorable Member, the entities are operating on GRAP. What is the departments, national departments and provincial departments are the ones that are not on GRAP. They are on a system called Modified Cash. The financial people will be able to explain that further. But as far as we understand, entities are on GRAP. Zimedi will deal with the question on when will everything go live, or it is the turnaround times there. Honorable Siwisa, yes, the system will be organization-wide, meaning even the current systems are organization-wide. So what we do in regional offices, in national office, it's the same systems that are being used in the regional offices. So we don't have different system there. Honorable Van Skarsvijk, you wanted broad details. My understanding, and I think Mr. Nidi can confirm, is that this report is actually available in a bigger context, as a Word big document. Here we were just trying to make a presentation out of it, but that can be made available so that all the details then are clear for you. I think let me hand it over to Zimedi to deal with the rest of the questions. Zimedi? Thank you, Chairperson.
Thank you, Acting DG and Honorable Chairperson. I will start with a question that was relating to who has access to the active modules. It's the officials in head office and also in the regional offices. And the system is built with segregation of duties, so it's role-based. So you will find that in the IER module, we have a role for a capturer, and those ones are at the regional office. And then verifier also is the function is at the regional office. It will be allocated at that regional office, and then also at head office for authorization and approval for that. So it's role-based, but all the entities that are using or their function require them to use the systems, they are utilizing the system. And who determines the access? The access management policy as a control in the department is that in each branch, the supervisor and the manager, at least at the level of the manager, they authorize the access to the officials that must be registered and be granted specific profiles on the system. So that is at the level of the manager at each branch and also at a regional office in terms of the access. And then the issue in terms of lack of capacity, why we bring in service providers to implement the solutions. We did approach CETA at some point with a strategy to say this is the PMTE strategy, and our approach then was that can they assist us to in getting a solution for us to phase out the legacy systems, which is PMIS for property management and WCS. And they did indicate that at the time that they didn't have the capacity in-house to be able to assist us in taking the solution further, because as per CETA Act, we are compelled to utilize CETA for acquisition of ICT services, and also in this case, in that one. And we also checked with the sister departments. That's when the KZN contract was identified initially in 11. They had Akibas in the KZN province from the provincial public works department. And that's when the department then engaged on that, because they also assisted in terms of the immovable asset register management module while we were implementing here in DPW. So they also provided that support. So the issue of us bringing in also service providers is that the structure of ICT is in DPW main vault, and we have a limited number of capacity in relation to positions and availability of budget. So hence the approach to say to complement the capacity, we need to go out and get implementation partners. And the other question of the the reasons why the service providers didn't complete the work in relation to the scope of the contract, and also what did we put as mitigations for us to recover and to recover the cost in relation to the contract value. The LCM one that came in 2013, they had capacity issues, poor capacity issues in respect to they didn't have the right skills, if I can put it like that, so for them to be able to implement the solution. And also in relation to the technology itself, that was one contributor. As much as the department, we had our own internal challenges, but for them, they were released from the contract in 2020. They were released from the contract in terms of poor performance because they didn't have the issues in terms of their skills. In 2020, then we had to get in LCM to complete the remaining work. And in terms of us mitigating the cost, if you look at the expenditure on them, we didn't spend all the contracted value because there were disputes in terms of delivery to say you didn't complete certain deliverables and milestones. So we didn't pay for those ones. But for the efforts that they put into developing those milestones, then that was actually what was spent. So we didn't spend all the money that was awarded to them. And in terms of the intellectual property, when we bring the service providers on board, they do sign non-disclosure agreements with us before they start. That is one. But before they start, before the award of the contract also, there is a vetting exercise that is done by the security branch in DPW to make sure that all the resources that are coming on board and the company itself, they meet the security requirements of in terms of state security, if I can put it like that. So those are the two issues that we, or two measures that we have in the department in terms of making sure that the people that we bring on board also they will be able to reserve our confidential information. And as part of also as they work with us, the ICT team, there's also internal policies where we monitor them in terms of information management and sharing. So that is part of our operational policies in terms of that. And for the the reason for the market, why didn't we test the market in 2011 when PMCE strategy was adopted and the entity was established? The department did go out on the market and publish a tender. And out of that response, it was Sage and solution that came up, and there was Oracle solution, there was a SAP solution, and then there was IE web solutions also that we had, which then we had to evaluate, and then hence Sage was the one that met most of our draft requirements and the organizational requirements, and hence we had to put a request to Treasury for them to approve in line with the financial accounting and PFMA to utilize Sage. So from there on, we didn't test the market from 2011 up to now, because Archibus then came as part of the stage of the billing and accounting solution that we were looking for, and that was then bought on board from the KZN contract, which also was an open tender that they tested the market. So we took it from the department that that market analysis was conducted as part of the that bid from KZN. Hence, when we engaged on that departmental contract, it was for that reason. In terms of the turnaround times on the modules, on the strategic plan of the organization and also on the APP, we have committed to say by the end of this financial year, the outstanding modules must be completed. And that's what we have committed for the annual performance plan for this financial year, because most of the groundwork now is done, and also we're looking forward to say if we have implementation partners on board, then we'll be able to complete at the end of the financial year. But we have also checked the readiness of each of the modules. So we looked at the modules that, especially the ones that were related to data issues that we had, those ones we have then got the branches to look at the data and make sure that we are ready for it. And also, secondly, why we committed for the 5 modules to be completed at the end of the financial year and the first quarter of the next financial year is that we have adopted a principle to say the branches must then look at the functionality that comes from that comes with the solution, and they must then over customize or change it. And it must be less than 10% of customization if we have to do that, so that we minimize the risk of them fiddling or for us to rewrite the code, if I can put it like that, to make sure that it fits the requirements. We are only the principle or the basic principle that we're going to apply across all the modules is that, is it a legal requirement and is it a regulatory requirement? If not, can we take the best practice in terms of the standards that the solution comes with so that we are able then to quickly move with the implementation of the solution? So that is the plan for us to move forward in terms of implementing. And then the other one was in terms of the rate of success of the 3 modules that we have. I must mention, Chairperson, that with the lease-in module, we pay leases every month. All the lease agreements in the department that we have valid contracts for, they are paid on a monthly basis, and we use this lease module for us to be able to do that. The second one is that the call center, our call center that we have at the department, also I mentioned that there is FM calls that are locked. They are tracked, assigned, and monitored from that solution. So they are actually able to, there is a value or the rate of success is there, even though there's minor issues that we need to tweak, but those systems, they are operational and the branches are deriving value. The IAR, I think the RIAS team next week, they will demonstrate the value of what they derive from the asset register, but with them also now they have a centralized repository of this asset register, and they are able to control the changes that are made on the asset register through the system. So those 3 modules, they are operational, and the success is given there. We still have issues with the data issues, but they are working on cleansing and updating the system as they move. And we do have a CPM module for budgeting, and it's a high priority. I think all from all the committees that we account from, CPM has been highlighted as one of the areas that we have to move fast in terms of digitizing the project. The current solution in Archibus, it does have a CPM and a budgeting module, and it's been prioritized, or it will be prioritized over the next coming 9 months for implementation, with that principle that they must then over-customize, and they must then take the systems as they come. And that module also has an early warning sign in terms of the project performance itself and the activities, whether you want to check whether the service providers are delivering on the activities and outputs. It will then have a dashboard for whoever the project manager or any managers or any officials that will require project reporting and monitoring. So it will be then be able to send those red flags or early warning signs and a business intelligence report if required for that. And I think I've covered most of them. I'm not sure, Acting DG, if I have left one.
No, unless we missed a question, Chairperson, but over to you. I see a question, Chairperson, from Honorable C. Polo on the chat.
Okay, yes, you can also respond, but let me read that question. Honorable Sikhala did indicate that due to flu, his voice is not so good. While the immovable asset register remains ineffective or not working, DPWI properties continue to be illegally invaded and contributing to informal settlements and high levels of crime. The department is certainly not covering itself in glory in as far as assessing the low-hanging fruit challenges. This is the question or the comment from Honorable Sikhala.
And my question, Chair, on the final cost of the Archibus software installation, what will it be?
Okay, Chair. I think on the issue of the immovable asset register, it is true that we are experiencing evasion of our properties. But most of the invasion is not due to us not knowing what we've got. Well, at least not knowing if those assets actually belong to us. There are other community issues that are at play. But the asset register, as we have it currently, we are able to function on it. We may not have it in its ideal form, but it is a document that is auditable, that we continue to be audited on. And as and when the Auditor General finds loopholes or weaknesses in what we currently have, as a department on an annual basis, we develop a plan on how to close those gaps that are being identified. But we do have a system in terms of managing our asset base, Chairperson, if I may answer that in that way. In terms of the amount of money that will be spent, I think the latest contract over and above what we have on the presentation that was made, I think over the next 3 years, the media will correct me, over the next 3 years, I think the latest contract is above 50 million, 50. That's the information that I have. The media can confirm that. Thank you, Chairperson.
You are correct, Acting DG. For this work that we have prioritized over the 3 years, it's 50 million, but the bigger vision of it, if we expand the solution to other provinces, it will be a different cost, which initially was projected to be, overall was supposed to be 200 million. Because of the single repository for the whole of government. But for the DPW scope, 18 DG, it's 50 million for the next 3 years to complete and maintain the current solution.
Over to you, Chairperson. I see there's still another hand. Apologies.
Honourable members will then take care. We don't have someone just putting in. I understand the issue of Honourable Sikhala. There is a hand. So the follow-up questions and those that feel that their questions have not been responded to. Honourable Van Skalvik, I can see your hand. Any other member? But we'll take this as a second round of questions and comments. Honourable Van Schaveld.
Thank you, Chairperson. I recognize that there's a big report and this is only a presentation where not all the necessary information could have been compressed into this presentation. But Chairperson, I feel that the department needs to be clear in terms of what they mean by poor performance. When they indicated that, or according to me, if you monitor the service provider with regards to or in line with the policy, just tell us what went wrong with the service providers. Because my fear is you will use a service provider, discard them in the contract, and they will find other contracts within our government system, and they'll end up being repeat offenders without being held accountable. So when the presenter said that there was performance issues, can we clarify exactly what they mean by it? Because according to me, a fair procurement system means you had to be put in, you need to look at the weaknesses, but also what is crucial is to note section 217 of the Constitution, Chairperson, which clearly indicates that that we must procure goods and services in accordance with the system, which is fair, equitable, transparent, competitive, and cost-effective. So if the money is ever found to have been done contrary to what the Constitution says, I don't think we are doing justice to what we are supposed to be doing. And even the portfolio committee can be out liable, because then we would have failed in our efforts to properly do oversight on our department and its entities. And I need some clarity in terms of that, because according to me, if the weaknesses has been identified, it would have been better to tell them to make them redo what they've done wrong instead of replacing them and using more money and just lost the money that's already been paid. Thank you, Chairperson. I'll pause there.
Thank you, Honourable Van Schalvik. Honourable Hicklin.
Thank you so much, Chair. I didn't mean to butt in earlier. Apologies, Chair. I hope you'll accept them. Chair, Ms. Samedi indicated a figure of 200 million rand. We have already spent, the department has already spent in the region of 30 million rand and is looking to spend another 50 million rand on Archibus, but it can be more when they roll it out across the country. I honestly and truly believe that a customized, custom-built, I'm trying to think of the real appropriate term, but really a custom-built software program could have been written, handwritten, codified for the department for less than 200 million rand. But what about CETA? Surely CETA could have been asked to provide a custom-built solution for the DPWI. I am a little bit at sea as to why we are going to outside contractors when the government has its own software ICT department, and this is such a specialized environment. I'm just a little bit dumbstruck that we are trying to look for a plug and play system own ICT department within Parliament to create that, funded by National Treasury, keeping the system in-house as opposed to putting it outside to an outside company. I don't know, I'm absolutely lost for words that we are farming this sensitive a function to outside companies. It's just concerning me immeasurably. I really am a little dumbstruck by it. If the DDG or the minister could potentially answer that question for me. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you, Honorable Hickson. Just before I hand over to you, SNDG, in the layman's language, now, does the department think Archibald is still relevant? I'm asking this because if you talk of software, I mean, it's changing day in, day out. In fact, anything that relates to technology, I think we all know. What was relevant then may not longer be relevant now. I'm just asking now in the layman's point of view, do you still think it is relevant? You may partly answer this question, but remember next week when we deal with movable asset register, I will also ask this question again. Over to you.
Honorable Hicklin, let me deal with that 200 million rand cost first. One of the biggest criticisms against our current immovable asset register is that it is not deemed to be complete if it is only focusing on what the Department of Public Works is in control of. For us to truly have a government-wide immovable asset register, it will have to include the provinces and all other custodians, governments that have got custodial functions over certain properties. That's when we can truly say we have a government-wide immovable asset register. And that's what we're saying, that that scoping was done, and for us to get there, that is when the cost of 200 million was punted. And the reason we're not going there yet is because you can't try to spread an asset register that you have not yet yourself mastered. So we thought, as Public Works, let's rather get us our own asset register to the levels where we are going to say, now we are happy, it's fully functional. Then you can start to slowly try to get the other registers on board. But if we're not yet complete, I think it might create problems. We'll be sitting here maybe 20 years later having the same discussion. Chairperson, is Akiba still relevant? That question will never change because of the very reason you are raising, because things change all the time. And the problem is not necessarily the host, architecture. It's the information that then needs to go to that system. So even if tomorrow we find a completely new architecture, the names are not coming to mind now. If we get a completely new architecture that we can then implement as a department, we will be having this very discussion where we are trying to put in all the information for Public Works that can go in there and actually become functional. So the ills are not so much the actual system, but what is it that Public Works needs to achieve at the end of the day. And that back and forth, and I think the earlier conversation we referred to over-customization, it's in the customization of the information that we usually then start to show gaps there and there. Hence, we are now looking at understanding that Archibus may not necessarily be the problem, but maybe ourselves as Public Works, we need to then start looking at what are the different systems that need to be in place and plug and play. Whether that architecture is Akibas or Oracle or any other bigger system, for us right now, it's a little immaterial unless we know for a fact that we have our own house in order and the problem is Akibas. And at this point in time, I'm unable to say whether the problem is Akibas or the problem is Department of Public Works and how we then deal with the systems that we have been dealing with over the years. Chair, I'll let the magic deal with the actual detail, the question from Honorable Van Stalfeit. What went wrong? When we say the service provider has not performed, what exactly went wrong? That was the question from Honorable Van Stalfeit. The magic?
Thank you, Acting DG. When we say the service provider didn't perform, is that they couldn't complete, or when we were doing the project management monitoring, they couldn't complete the agreed deliverables and milestones in terms of the time and the budget that we have agreed on. So that is the reason why we said they were not performing. And the root cause of that, as I mentioned, is that it was capacity issue and the level of the expertise that they brought into the project that led them not to meet the project deliverables and outputs as we have agreed in the contract. And what we have done then, we have escalated to the legal, our legal department and our SCM branch to look at the service provider performance and non-performance, and which we will provide the response in the bigger report, DDG. I don't have that output yet now. So that was what led to them being a decision made to be released from continuing to work, because we were disputing the non-completion of some of the critical outputs that we have agreed on. Thank you, Acting DG.
Thank you, Chairperson. Over to you.
I'm talking while I'm on mute. Let's then, I think on the basis of all this comments or responses that we have received from you, allow the minister, if he's still in the platform, to come in so that I can then round up and release you so that we can deal with our minutes. Over to you, Minister.
No, thanks, Chair, and thank you. Once again, greetings to you and to honorable members of the Portfolio Committee as well as the Department. I think we take note of issues that have been raised by members, and we value all of them. These are some of the issues that we have raised. For instance, if you want to test or to have an integrated system, you need to examine it at the beginning, that what are each modules that will be expected, and then what will be the timelines from the start till the end. And we will agree that we have been investing a lot of resources in the in this program, but it has not worked effectively. So we have raised this, that there must be an integration, but we must know what is the real problem. And in the system, we cannot continuously add modules as if we don't know what we want to achieve. We must, from the start, be able to develop a comprehensive plan with milestones that we would want to achieve this by this time and this by this time, and then when will it be complete? I think I wanted to emphasize that part, which we have been raising, and DM has also met with the relevant branch in this regard. We will be continuing to work on it and ensure that we have one integrated system. Yes, it might happen that the problem is on the side of capacity and understanding on the side of DPWI,
But also, we cannot continuously have a system that is ongoingly updated as if we don't know what we want. So that is our point of view, Honorable Chair. Thank you. Chair, I'm not sure whether you are back.
I'm still in the system. I'm still here.
Thank you.
We let's appreciate Minister also your view on this matter. I think when Honorable Franz Kalvik was saying that he, as the portfolio committee, will also be liable when all this fails. It will not only be the department. Questions will be saying, where was the portfolio committee? Did it play its oversight role in all this? Next week, Minister, we will be dealing with the issue of the movable asset register and the in the department, it's going to be a physical meeting, and some of the information that we had here, we will ask some questions, because it will be unfortunate that we will hear what we heard today, and next week we'll be hearing something else. We hope, as the portfolio committee, as we continue to play our oversight role, that there will be a time that the department would be proud to say we have a system, a software system that is functional, that it is easy for us at a click of a button to see what is happening in all the assets that we have. And even if we're talking of a payment, it's easy for us to track and have a trail that is clear. So we're looking towards that, but as the portfolio committee, we will continue to play our oversight role, because the funds that are used here, they are coming from the public purse. And as this committee, we then have a responsibility to ensure that whatever that is utilized is for value for money and for a good cause. So that is why we'll continue with this question. Is ARCHIPAS still relevant? Thank you, Minister. Thank you, Acting DG and your team, for the presentation and the responses that you provided for us. We may then release you so that you attend to other matters. You know that the minister will be delivering a budget in the NSOP. All the best, minister and your team. We'll then go for our second item. Lwazi?
Morning, Chair. I'm trying to share now, Chairperson.
Thank you, Razi. These are the minutes, members of the meeting that we held yesterday, which was a follow-up meeting on the issue of Honorable Bodlani's petition and a said meeting, which at least it was better than the previous meeting. And the fact that the department, SAPS and the city of Ekurhuleni managed to meet in trying to resolve the issue. As much as there are issues there, but the fact that at least they had a meeting, I think it's a positive thing. Can we then confirm, or let's start with the corrections. We have any corrections in the grammar language that is in the minutes?
Chairperson?
Yes.
Good morning, everyone. Chair, I just saw something earlier on when Mr. Ben was paging. If you could just page up, Mr. Ben. Further. There we go, stop. That needs to be removed. Number 8, the Roman 8. That's all I could see here, Chair. Just above, there we go.
Chair, did we get these minutes? Because I haven't seen them and I haven't had a chance to read them.
No.
Okay.
They were done very late last night.
No, Lwazi, these minutes are deferred to meeting next week. Let's defer them. We can't bring in minutes here that members did not apply their minds on. I think let's just put it there so that we don't have any challenge.
That's correct, Chair.
Yeah.
Noted, Chair. I'll send to members now, Chairperson.
Please do that. Honourable members, the meeting for next week on the 7th is going to be a physical meeting. We will confirm the venue of the meeting. So we appealing to all the members that are not in Cape Town to come down to Cape Town for that particular meeting. It's going to be a physical meeting on the members.
Sorry, Chair, what date did you say that was, the physical meeting?
7th.
Okay, thank you.
Honorable Shingi, 7th.
Chairperson?
Yes.
The venue has been confirmed, Chair. It's 120 Plain, Committee Room 1.
Committee Room 1, Plain Street.
120 Plain.
Okay.
You will also write that
on the group, confirm it on the 7th, honorable members, and we have not had physical meetings, especially as the portfolio committee, in a long time, but as much as we have been asked to hold physical meetings, we felt that we must allow the issue of the mini plenaries to finish. I think by this one that we're doing today, in the plenary, the budget, the president budget vote debate that will be done today, it will be the last of the budget votes debate. So we will then come in on the 7th, honorable members. So we appeal that all the members of the portfolio committee to attend that meeting. And the notes that we have written in today's debate, please keep them for next week's debate. On that, honorable members, we had a wonderful Africa Month, May. I think you've sent me I've been having all my books. Yes.
Chair, I'm just butting in, and I apologize for that, Chair. I don't have my duke on, but I'm asking to just ask a question that the committee needs to guide Mr. Ben around the report on the petition. Whether we use the information we gathered over the last few meetings to then draft a report that will go to the National Assembly for action. If the committee feels that it's sufficient information, then an instruction like that should be given to the staff. If not, then the committee will guide as to when such a report should be written.
I think I see a hand. I was going to, okay. Honorable Hicklin, just before I respond on this one.
Chair, you can respond. I was just going to say I agree with Shuaib that a report must be drawn up, Chair, that I think we need to take, say, in 3 months' time, get a follow-up report from the City of Ekurhuleni DPWI and from Honourable Bodlani as to what kind of progress has been made, because I think where the problem has come in is the promises are made and not followed through. And I think we need to get a full update as to whether there has been a total reconciliation of the outstanding money, whether the money is up to date, whether they are progressing with the plans to rebuild and the handover of the land, or transfer, retransfer, misaligned transfer of the land. I think a report does need to be drawn up, just my humble opinion, Chair.
Thank you, Honourable Hicklin. On this issue, Mr. Shuaib, and I think it is a standard procedure that after the committee has dealt with the petition, tried to get answers from all the affected stakeholders, a report has to be taken. Remember, sometimes some of these petitions, they even end up being a part of some deliberations in the plenary. So a report must be prepared and trying to include as much as possible from all the 3 meetings that we have held with this, starting from the one that we held in February and the 2 meetings that we held, the one where SAPS reported and City of Ekurhuleni and the last one. So and some of the deliberations that we were doing in the meeting, I think they can give you exactly what the report should be all about. Thank you, Honourable Member. Thank you also, Honourable Hicklin. Thank you, Honourable Members, for this progressive meeting. We are starting the Youth Month next week. I'm sure we will see the young Hicklin, the young Trink, the young Shuaib. I was the one who was representing the committee in the Africa Month. So we'll see. Thank you so much. The meeting is adjourned.
Yeah, you're starting now.
Thank you, Chair.
Thank you, Chair.
Thank you, everyone.